Clear Channel's iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Jane Wilkins Michael Show. Better than before. An hour of beauty, health, fitness, and lifestyle advice from renowned columnist and author Jane Wilkins Michael and her guests, top experts in their fields. Join Jane's campaign to become better than before. Now, here she is, Jane Wilkins Michael.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today, I have my amazing co-host, Tom Campbell, with me. Love month. So I thought we'd talk about one of the things that gets brought up a little bit more than maybe should be and argued about is the bit about self-love. Now, I know where you're coming from, and I certainly understand when you say, you know, a lot of people, when they're in that self-love mode, is very narcissistic. And for me, that's like, okay, that's, well, we kind of are a very narcissistic society. I mean, there's a lot of people that are just out for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that becomes problematic. And so when the woo-woo people talk about self-love, I think they're hoping it's coming from a different place. And I think obviously the narcissistic aspect of it is the most negative and fearful state. So let's talk about that. Let's really finally address this. I know we've talked about it a few times, but let's really talk about what narcissism is and, you know, the difference between what you're talking about, the self-liking and being able to accept yourself, versus that narcissistic, full of fear, attitude that a lot of people seem to get stuck in.
Okay. Yeah, let's maybe redefine terms a little differently so that, you know, maybe everybody can get it if we say it from different angles.
Right.
Narcissism is defined as self-love, you know, and I think in the Greek mythology, a lady called, Narsa or something like that, and you know, her name was part of that. She fell in love with her own reflection in a pool, and she was just completely enamored with herself, you know, and to the point of excluding everyone else. So it was her and her reflection, you know, were the sum of her meaningful world. So that's where the term comes from. You know, it's self-love is narcissism. But in the New Age community, you hear you can't love anybody else before you love yourself. And what that means is that if you dislike yourself, if you feel that you're worthless, if you don't feel worthy, if you don't feel significant, if you feel just a little bit of nothing, you know, that's how you look at yourself. Well, then what do you have to give? All you have to give is a little bit of nothing, you see? And then it's difficult to love, to care, to, you know, to give to other people when you don't feel like you have anything. So that's what they mean by that. They mean that if you have a lot of negativity towards yourself, then you don't have much to give because you feel very bad about yourself. So what could I give? How could I help? Oh, yeah, I could go join that group, but eventually they all wouldn't like me because I'm just a little bit of nothing. You know, I don't bring anything particularly. So people who have that thing of inadequacy, insecurity, they just don't, you know, they're not confident. I mean, we can say it in a lot of ways. They lack confidence. They lack assurance. Well, that's a problem. If you don't have that, then you can't give much. You just don't feel like you have much to give. You don't go out and extend yourself. You just kind of, you know, shrink into yourself and stand on the sideline. And you're afraid to talk and afraid to make suggestions and afraid to lead, you know, because you just don't feel that competent. Well, they're right. If you feel that way about yourself, then it is hard to love anybody else. It's hard to go anywhere. But there's several things here we need to tie together. One of them is let's redefine narcissism as extreme self-centeredness. OK, Okay. That will be another way of defining narcissism. Okay. It's extreme self-centeredness. It's all about me, my wants, my needs, my desires, the way I want life to be, the way I want you to be, you know, the way I want my life to be. And that's what's really important to me is I get things the way I want them, that it's my way, because actually I know best. I understand everything. And I know, you know, the way everybody should be. I know what my boss should think. I know what my, you know, my wife or my husband should think. I know how they should act. I know the way they should see the world because I see it that way. And I know it's the right way. Well, that's just called self-centered, you know, and if you're a very self-centered person, then you are a narcissistic person because, you know, you are in love with yourself, so to speak, in the sense that you define all that's right and wonderful, all that's good, you know, and so on. And that has become very endemic in our culture right now. And I think part of the problem is that our culture tends to be very hard on people. Our culture is very high stress. It's very hard on people. So we have developed a whole bunch of kind of cheerleading from the side, you know, to help people, you know, get out there and do better. And it's things like, I'm okay, you're okay. You know, that used to be a thing went around, what, back in the 80s, right? Yeah. The I'm okay, you're okay thing. You know, you go, girl, you've got it all. You know, you're in charge and you're smart and you're savvy and you're sassy. Get out there and kick butt and do it all. Because, you see, and we have a lot of our culture telling us that we are okay, we're important, we're significant. Well, that's nice if we really thought so. But when you don't really think so, and you hear all that, then you become, you know, you tend to take that on as an image, not as a reality. Mm-hmm. So you hear all this stuff about, well, first you got to love yourself and you're okay and everybody's fine and we're all perfect. You know, everybody's perfect. All we need to do is let our perfectness, you know, shine out in the world. All this encouragement, if it really made people feel that way, if it gave them confidence, if it gave them self-respect, if it gave them a positive attitude toward themselves, then that would be wonderful. But it doesn't. Because when you're sitting there feeling like you're just a little bit of nothing and you're not very important and you're not very significant and nobody particularly, you know, praises you or thinks you're wonderful or whatever, then when somebody tells you that, well, you are wonderful, of course you are, you desperately want to feel that way. And when you desperately want to feel that way, well, you start pretending that that's the way you feel. Okay, I'm all right now. I feel so much better. Next time somebody, you know, kind of pushes me a little bit, I'll smack them. You know, I'm tough now. I've got, you know, I got lots of self power here. And people start to act aggressive and they start to act, I'm in charge, do it my way. They get pushy. And if it doesn't work out that way, which most of the time it won't, because people don't like being pushed and people don't like other people being aggressive, so they get pushed back. Well, what that does is now amplify that inner feeling of being unworthy. So when people push back now, instead of just shrinking and kind of going off in a corner, you get angry. Because when they push back, that's telling you that you're not so special. People are disagreeing with you. And suddenly, instead of just being that somebody disagrees with you, it's somebody is telling you that you're not special. Somebody's telling you that you're failed. Somebody's telling you that you're not okay, that you're not perfect. And that then is terrifying because you're pretending to be that way just to make yourself feel better. And then when you run into things that push back, they make you feel very bad. What it's doing is it's resonating with that fear of being inadequate. It's resonating with that fear of not being good enough. And when you resonate with that fear, now that you're in this image of being okay, but not really feeling it at a deep level, now that fear, you know, responds and you get angry. So now you're in this life, you feel like, well, okay, nobody treads on me. Nobody pushes me around. And when they push, I push back. And now you turn into a person who is pushy, you know, who is demanding, who demands that other people do it their way. Not because you're so really in love with yourself or that you are so full of rightness. It's because you are so full of feelings and inadequacy that you cover all that up by demanding that you're in charge and do it this way and do it that way. And if you don't do it my way, well, you're just a crumb, you know. And if you come back and tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about, well, then I'll get angry. And if I get angry enough, you'll back off. So then they become bullies. Well, bullies are always frightened people who are covering up their fear of inadequacy with belligerence. So you see, we have all these things are tied up together. So it's all kind of part of a, you know, of one big mess that people get into, but it starts with feelings of inadequacy. And our culture is one that pushes us to feel inadequate.
That's true.
It pushes us to feel that way. And a lot of that has to do with our competitive culture. You know, even in elementary school, you know, they make the kids compete with each other.
Yeah.
You know, for how good a speller they are, or who gets the right answer. And if you don't get the right answer enough, well, you start to feel bad about yourself because you're in a very competitive culture. And that competitive culture doesn't reward you because somebody else can spell better than you and somebody else can get the answer better than you. And other people start calling you dummy. And, you know, pretty soon your self-worth has gone to the bottom. So part of it's because our very competitive culture. We compete for everything. You know, everything is competitive. I mean, even if you want to put on a little skirt and go out and dance in front of people as a cheerleader, you have to compete to do that. You know, if you want to get into the honor society, you have to compete to do that. If you want to get this, if you want to be part of the school, whatever, you have to compete to get that. Everything's competitive. And most kids, because they feel inadequate even to begin with, don't even try to compete. They just say, well, no, I really don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to join this or do that, or I don't want to get into that college, or they don't even try because they don't want to fail. Because if they failed, that would kind of point out the fact that they were inadequate and weren't good enough. Well, it's much better in their mind to not try than it is to fail. So this is a strategy called, I can't lose if I don't play.
Yeah.
So many people will just back away from anything like that, any responsibility, you know, any leadership, anything that might come their way, they push away from it because if they don't play, they can't fail. If they do it and they don't turn out to be stars, well, that would just kind of put the icing on the cake that, yeah, indeed, they are inadequate. So all of this is going on in a very competitive culture of ours that forces everybody to compete for almost everything.
Yeah.
You know, you compete for jobs, you compete for mates, even. You compete for girlfriends and boyfriends. You know, I mean, you have to compete for everything.
Yeah.
And it's not only competition. Competition itself wouldn't be so bad if people didn't take it so seriously.
Good point. Yeah.
But the problem is the people, we do take it seriously. So the winners feel better than the losers, and the losers feel less than the winners because we take it too seriously. It's just that, okay, we're competing and I didn't win. Oh, well, all right. I'll just have to keep practicing on that until I get better. Or maybe I just will never do that. You know, maybe I'm never going to be a good pianist because my fingers are too short and fat, you know, and that's just the way it is. I'll have to accept that. Well, that's fine. You know, if you can compete with that attitude, then competition's not a problem. But if the winners all strut their stuff and say, we're better than you losers, and you can't join our group because our group is special and you're not special enough to be here. And we have these kinds of arrogance and, again, self-centeredness, you see. And if the winners didn't gloat and if the losers didn't feel unworthy, then competition would be a good thing. But when the winners do gloat and the losers do feel unworthy, then this competition is a bad thing. So we can't just say competition's bad. It's the way we approach the competition that makes it bad. Competition can be fun as long as you take it with the right attitude, as long as losing's okay and winning's okay. And neither one makes you better or worse than anybody else, you see, as a human being. It maybe makes you a little more skilled in a particular area or a little faster runner or whatever, but so what? What does that mean about the quality of you as an individual? It means nothing about the quality of you as an individual. So we have problems with people feeling inadequate. And they tend to feel inadequate. And when they do, they tend to go off by themselves. They shrink. Or they puff up and become bullyish and boorish and pushy and loud and, you know, obnoxious. They're pushy people. And anything they don't get that they want, you know, they fuss. You know, these are the people that are always complaining too. You know, these are the people that when they get served something, you know, that isn't to their liking, well, they call that waiter over and they give them hell and say, take this garbage back and bring me something better, you know, because they're important and they only deserve the best. You know, you have people like that who are very pushy through life. And mostly they get what they want because other people don't want to engage in a fight with them because they'll just get more and more loud, more and more insistent. And they've learned that if they are obnoxious enough, other people will eventually walk away and give in and they will get their way. But inside that obnoxious person is usually a frightened person. A person that's full of fear. And it's a person that is self-centered. Yes. It's all about me. So that's kind of the sense of self-centeredness. It's all about me. And there's all variations of self-centeredness in the sense that you can have somebody that's a little self-centered and somebody that's a lot self-centered. So we take all the people who are really, really, really a lot self-centered, and those are the people we call narcissists. So that's really what narcissism is. Right. And self-centeredness, usually, not always, but mostly self-centeredness comes about because people are afraid. They're fearful. They don't feel very strong or very worthy. So they come into themselves. Now, the problem, or the worst, I guess I'd say the worst thing that can happen here is that a person gets self-centered. They feel fearful. They don't feel very adequate. And then they hit bottom and feel like they are a victim. You see, now being a victim is really kind of the bottom of the barrel of the problem. Because when you're a victim, you basically tell yourself that there's nothing you can do about it. I'm in this position and other people have power. I don't have any power. They have power over me. I'm a victim and there's nothing I can do about it because that's the nature of a victim. A victim isn't somebody who can fight back. You see, so a victim is somebody who has given up. Now there's giving up and being a victim in our culture is something that's encouraged. Well, not the giving up so much, but being a victim is something that's encouraged. Okay. Oh, it's not your fault that you're not doing well. It's not your fault that you didn't get that position. You're just a victim of, you know, and then they say why you didn't get that position. Oh, so-and-so, yeah, he's a brown noser and he does this and that. And, you know, he plays golf with the boss and that's why he got it. Even though you're much better at it, you're a victim. You see, it's out of your control. You get squished, you get overlooked, you don't get what you want. And you see yourself as a victim. There's this big world out there that's nasty and you're a victim. And then you can find any number of conspiracy theory sites that will convince you that you're a victim, because we're all victims. And victimhood is almost a badge of honor these days, you know. Oh, yes, I try hard, but, you know, the corporations and the politicians and the wealthy people and the billionaires, they all get their way. And I'm just a puppet and everybody, you know, got my strings and I have to dance to everyone's tune and I have no free will. I'm just a victim of this horrible society that I live in, and on and on and on. Well, once you're a victim, you're stuck. You're at the bottom of the barrel. You've convinced yourself that it's somebody else's fault, not yours. It's the rich people's fault. It's the politician's fault. It's the police. It's the, you know, you name it. You know, it's my mother-in-law. You know, it's my wife. It's somebody else's fault. It's my boss. All of them are stupid. All of them don't understand. I understand. I'm not stupid, but all, you know, I live in a world where all these awful people are all that smart, have power over me, and there's nothing I can do about it. Well, if you really feel there's nothing you can do about it, then you're just going to sit there on that bottom of the barrel and feel sorry for yourself. Okay. Being a victim is another word for self-pity. Yeah. It's very attractive to people who feel inadequate because they have two choices. I'm inadequate because something's wrong with me, or I'm inadequate because I'm a victim. I'm not really inadequate. I'm just being kept down by other people. I'm just never appreciated. I'm wonderful. And then they hear these things. Yes, you're okay, and I'm okay, and everybody's wonderful, and we're all perfect, and we're all full of love and glory. Just go out there and let your light shine. And they hear all that, and they said, yeah, that's me. I'm really wonderful, but my light doesn't shine. So is it me? It's like, you know, do I need to change the bulb? You know, my light doesn't shine, or is it because I'm oppressed? Well, you know, agreeing that you're a victim and that you're oppressed takes the blame away from you. So here we have this culture full of people who don't feel particularly confident, who don't feel particularly, you know, good about themselves. And somebody convinces them that they're really wonderful. It's just that it's all those men out there, you know, men rule the world. And you ladies, what can you do about that? We live in this manosphere that just dominates us and has never let us up. We've always been kept like slaves at home, you know, with children with runny noses. And that's just the way we are. And it's just this oppressive thing we live in. Well, if you're one of those people who's kind of caught in self-pity and victimhood, then yes, that sounds good, because that's an excuse. That explains why I'm not a doctor. I'm only an LPN. That explains the whole thing. It's not about me. You know, it's not that I'm sitting around feeling bad about myself, stuck in self-pity. It's the system keeps me down. So that's what I mean when I say our culture feeds this self-negativity. It feeds it in many ways. It feeds it because of its competitive nature. And because we have a lot of self-centeredness and fear, that's why we gloat. The gloaters gloat when they win because they also feel this insecurity. And now they're in a position that they can lord it over somebody else. Well, that just makes them feel really, really good. You see, if they didn't have the fear to begin with, they wouldn't have to lord it over anybody. Okay, I won. So what? You know, I was lucky, or I'm good at this. So what? What does that tell you about the quality of your being? Nothing. You see, so it's because we have the fear that we get more fear. And the more fear we get, the easier it is to get more fear. And you see this whole thing just kind of goes down to it's self-reinforcing. So that's why most of us are the way we are. That's why so many people are stuck in fear. So many people are stuck in ego. So many people are stuck in narcissism, because narcissism generally and victimhood go together. People who really are stuck on themselves tend to really don't see much worth in themselves, tend to be very self-centered, tend to be narcissistic. You see, it all goes together. And if you step just a little bit down this path, that encourages you to step further down this path. So what started out as feeling pretty good about yourself, but a little unsure, can turn into feeling terrible about yourself, being a narcissist and feeling like a victim. So most narcissists feel like they're victims, because the victim is an excuse. They can blame their problems, their inadequacy. I'm not inadequate. I'm just kept down by the evil system, whatever it is out there that's keeping you down. You're the wrong whatever, and the system doesn't appreciate you. Well, the thing is, there are victims. It's not that nobody's a victim. There are victims. We do have a very oppressive system sometimes. So it's not that all of that is imaginary. Yes, people are victims. People are victims of greedy corporations. People are victims of the politicians. People are victims of other self-centered people. Yes, but the point is, if you identify yourself as a victim, if you feel I'm a victim, now that's a terrible space to be in. You're stuck. You're at the bottom of the barrel and can't get up. But if you look at it and say, all right, I'm a victim, because of this and that, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to outgrow that? What do I have to do to get outside of that? How do I stop being a victim? How do I learn lessons that I can learn and let the victim stuff go? Okay, people don't like me because of my color. People don't like me because I'm male or female or blonde or have, black hair or whatever. People don't like me because this is the way I am. Well, now what can I do about that? What can I learn from that? Where can I grow? Where's my space to evolve? I can just maybe forget about being the victim. All right, so in that area, I got a handicap. Does that mean I have to work harder? Well, if it does, then work harder. Now, if you're going to say, yeah, but it's unfair, I have to work harder than other people because, well, then you're stuck. Now you're a victim, you see? So the thing is, yes, there are plenty of victims out there who really are victims of a very, oppressive society. We have a lot of that in our world. But don't identify with being the victim. Identify with somebody who counts, somebody who can grow up, somebody who has the potential to evolve the quality of their being. Identify with that. Start growing. Look for the positive. Don't wallow in the negative. If you're going to wallow in something, don't wallow in self-pity. Wallow in gratitude. Look at the opportunities I have. All right, here I am, and I've got these disadvantages. I come from a very poor family. Nobody's going to pay my way through college, I don't have any money. I went to a terrible school because I lived in a terrible neighborhood. My education is substandard, whatever. But don't be a victim about that. Admit it. All right. Yeah, that's where I am. Now, how do I get out of that? What do I do? Do I take 3 hours every night instead of watching, TV, start self-studying? Learning to do better, and then take tests to, pass high school, to pass other things, and go to junior college, and after junior college, go to a college, and after college, go to a graduate school, and now you're here, you are a PhD in something. You're at the top of the, just because you didn't give up as a victim. You found a way, and there's plenty of people who do that, but there's a lot more people who don't. They sit and, oh, woe is me. I can't. Well, that's where victimhood leaves you. So, okay, you're a victim. We're all probably victims of something or another. So what? It's the same thing. Okay, so you won the race. Now you're the winner. So what? What's your quality of consciousness? How grown up are you? You see, that's what's really important. If you think winning a race or winning this or that or being selected as the best person in the world is terrific, well, does it make you a better person? Does it raise your quality of consciousness? If not, who cares? It really just doesn't matter. And if you're at the very bottom of that society, if you're down at the, if you're down in the very bottom of it, well, it's going to be tough down there. It's not easy. It's not necessarily, it's like, oh, okay, I'll just decide. I'll just go right on up to the top. It doesn't work like that. But you can learn and grow from anywhere. The very inspiring story of Viktor Frankl is a great example of that. Here's a guy. This was in World War II. He's Jewish. His children, his wife, they've all been murdered by Nazis in death camps. He's in a death camp, but because he's strong enough to work, he's used as slave labor. He's not put to death because they need somebody to dig holes and, clean up garbage and do other things. So he gets the, now they don't feed him much. They beat him when he works. He's tortured. He's not happy, but he comes out the other end, not with PTSD. He comes out the other end with a whole new idea about psychology and about life. He comes out very positive. He doesn't blame his captors. He doesn't blame the people who tortured him. He sees a bigger picture. So he comes out and he starts a whole new branch of psychology, I think called logotherapy. Now, I don't know if it still exists or not, but it's just an example because he's such a good example because his victimhood was so obvious, was so strong, was so, if you're looking for victim, qualifications, right? Somebody that can that can strut their victimness. Well, he could probably strut more victimness than almost anybody we could think of in so many ways. But yet he didn't come out beat up. He didn't come out a loser. He came out a winner from that. He grew from it. He learned from it. And yes, most of us probably don't have that much gumption or that much quality, but we should develop enough gumption or quality to at least learn from our environment, grow up, become high quality people, even if we're poor, even if we're destitute, even if we're not in a good situation, even if we were, left, in a basket on somebody's doorstep, and that's where we started life. Okay, well, what are we going to do with that? So that kind of comes back to the thing I often say, life is not about what happens to you. Life is about what you do with what happens to you. Choices. What choices do you make now, wherever it is you are, whatever's happened to you, whatever disadvantages or advantages you have, what are you going to do with it? So if you have an advantage because, okay, you grew up wealthy and, your daddy sent you to Harvard and paid, $70,000 a year for you to go to school, and you come out with a Harvard degree, and now you're advantaged. You can take a job at twice the salary of somebody that came out of cornflake you. But what are you going to do with that? I mean, so what? Are you going to spend your life strutting around saying, I got a degree from Harvard? Well, is that going to make you happy? Is that going to give you really an advantage in raising the quality of your consciousness? Not really. It'll start you off with an advantage in the economic system. But that economic system wants people who produce, not people who strut. So even if you have all the advantages of the world, but you're not a producer, you're going to sink like a rock in that system. You'll start at the top, but you're going to end up at the bottom. And if you start at the bottom, but you're really a producer, you'll rise to the top. So it's just attitude. If we have the attitude that I am somebody, I am significant, I do have a quality of consciousness, and I'm going to work on that. And while I'm working on that, I'm going to do this to improve my situation. I'm not going to sit around and feel sorry for myself because I'm a victim, because I'm disadvantaged, because I have this problem, because my fingers are short and fat and I want to be a pianist. You know, well, I'll go play something else where short, fat fingers work really good, like maybe drums or, you know, some other kind of thing. I'll take my skills and my abilities and whatever, and I'll see what I can do with them. And even if I don't do much with them, even if by the time I'm 50 years old, I'm sitting in a field watching my sheep graze, and that's as far in life as I've aspired to be, is you know, subsistence living, I'll do that with gusto. I'll watch my sheep. I'll think my thoughts. You know, I'll write my books, you know, write my poetry. I'll do whatever I do, and I'll enjoy it. I'll maximize my time while I sit there with my sheep. I'll learn to explore other reality frames. I'll do this, I'll do that. You see, there's really no way to keep a person down who has a good attitude about going up. It can be hard. You know, here, look at this guy. He's a white guy, right? And, you know, he's came from a middle-class family and he's had all these advantages. He just doesn't understand, you know, what it is to be down there. Well, that's true. I don't understand what it is to be at that bottom. But I know that if you turn to self-pity, I understand enough about the way the world works and how things happen, that if you have the wrong attitude, then it's impossible to get yourself out of the mess that you're in. If you feel self-centered and it's all about you, then your life is always going to be unhappy. Your life is going to be full of struggle and pain and dysfunction, because you are full of dysfunction because you're self-centered. Now, whether you're so self-centered that we'll call you a narcissist, or whether you're so self-centered that we'll just call you normal, because the normal person, you know, normal people, average people are pretty self-centered. That's just the way we are. We generally don't have a very high quality of consciousness here in humanity. Well, wherever you are, you can learn. You can grow. Money isn't required. Intent is required. Well, you do have to eat, and you would like to have a warm place in the winter to go and so on. Well, how do you attain that? Where do you go for that? There's a way to figure that out. Do the best you can. And even if life is so against you because just bad luck, you know, just happens. Okay, here you are. You're doing fine and you get tuberculosis or something, right? And there you are, almost done with your residency, almost become a doctor, almost do this, and now you get some illness that knocks you right out and maybe you never recover. Well, if you sit around feeling sorry for yourself, then your rest of your life won't be much. Right. Who was that other really good example? Reeves. What was his name? Steven?
Christopher Reeves?
Christopher Reeves, right. Superman, right? Yeah. He's this big, you know, masculine hero, and he falls off a horse and he gets paralyzed from the neck down. Well, he's just at the top of his career. I mean, he just became, you know, a big name brand actor, and life was just panning out and the money was rolling in, and here he was. And next moment he knows he's lying in a bed and he's paralyzed from the neck down. But he did not feel sorry for himself. He did not go there. He was, well, what can I do now in this position? And feel sorry for myself is not a good place to start. And he didn't. So if you just, you know, read a little bit about his biography, you'll see that he had a lot of courage and a lot of quality. And he did not only learn a lot after his accident, he helped a lot of other people learn a lot after his accident. He was a wonderful example to the rest of us. So, yeah, life can sometimes throw us a curveball that knocks us flat.
Yes.
But if we have good quality, that really doesn't matter that much. Even if we're paralyzed from the neck down, our life is a success. Yeah. And Reeves no doubt left this life and went to the next with a good plus up. Well, that's what it's all about, getting that plus up, right? Going to level up to the next level of quality here in this virtual reality game. So you'd say, well, poor guy, right at the top of his career, you know, he really lost. No, he really won.
And that's really what it's about. It's that the choices that you make. You can, I mean, we all have things that have happened to us. There's not one person, well, there might be those Pollyanna people that pretend that everything is perfect, but, you know, there's not one person that hasn't had something that has defined or they've seen it as defining their lives. But it's the choices we make. It's whether we choose to wallow. I'm sure, you know, everyone that's had something devastating happen, there's a moment where you have to be authentic and you have to sort of say, yeah, wow, this happened. But then you have to be able to make another choice. And that's where that's right. The thing is that we can always make another choice, even no matter what the diagnosis is, no matter what happens, no matter how terrible it could be. Even if you have a life-threatening disease, you know, it's not all about fighting the disease. It's about accepting it and coming from that place of, okay, so how do I grow from this?
Exactly. Here I am. This is the situation. Advantage, disadvantage, high, low, in between. Now, what are my choices?
Right.
And you see, and if you're full of self-centeredness or self-pity, you don't see many choices. You don't see good choices because you know, your mind isn't open enough to find the good choices. But if you're not full of those things, if you're not self-centered, you'll find good choices. Good choices are always around, you know, the choice that's best for you at that point. It may not suddenly make you a millionaire in a week, but that's not the point. The point is, are you going to grow up? Are you going to learn from it? What can you do with it? All right, this is my life now. How am I going to learn from this? If I don't like it, how am I going to change it? All right, it's a lot of work. It's not easy changing things. Oh, it's too much work. I guess I'll just have to suffer. You say, well, that's a choice. You've made the choice that it's too much work. You'll just have to suffer and you can go through life miserable, but it's a poor choice. You see,
it's a choice a lot of people make.
Yeah, a lot of people make. But the idea that it's hard isn't the point. Yeah. You see, it's not whether it's hard or whether it's easy. And it's not whether it's fair or whether it's unfair. All of that's beside the point. The point is you have choices. And if you have a positive attitude, you'll find some positive choices to make the best of whatever it is you are right now. Even if that's from worse to just bad. You know, and you go from bad to still pretty bad, but not quite as bad. Well, that's good. That's progress. And you can look at that very positively. You know, so that's the thing about loving yourself. If you really love yourself, that's not a good thing. Love is something you give unconditionally. You see, it's an unconditional thing. You don't have to like people to love them. You can say, okay, I'm really not very nice. You know, I don't like myself, but I love myself because I'm all I've got. Oh, good me. You know? So that's not helpful. Loving yourself is not helpful. Being negative towards yourself is terribly unhelpful. You need to be positive towards yourself. As soon as you're negative towards yourself, you're just going to slip slide down to worse and worse and worse. So let go of that negative stuff and say, all right, I accept myself however I am, whatever conditions I am, whatever, you know, wherever I find myself, that's me. Now, how do I make good choices from here on? And good choices are choices that help you evolve the quality of your consciousness. Because if you do that, all the rest of it, like being able to buy a car and pay the mortgage, will take care of itself. That'll either take care of itself or you find out you don't really need a car or a mortgage. So it'll take care of itself. If you work toward quality of consciousness, the rest of it will come along. I mean, it won't come along without any effort on your part. You're still going to have to put effort in there, and it may be hard work, but there's always a way up if you have the gumption to reach for it and to take it. And self-pity, self-centeredness, and being narcissistic drain you from that, drain all that gumption to where you can't get up. You're stuck. And then we have wallowing in self-pity. Instead, switch that around 180 degrees and wallow in gratitude. Look at the things that you do have. All right, I don't have all this other stuff, but what do I have? Yeah. And you'll be surprised to find out that most of us really have quite a lot, even if we're dirt poor and at the bottom of the barrel. We still have opportunities. There's still ways to go. There's things that we can do. So I don't know. That's I hope that's a message of hope and not a message of despair.
I think the interesting thing that you said that I'm not sure that you've said it before, but love is something you give. I think that's the piece, because there's so many mixed messages out there, you say, that, you know, self-love is, you know, you got to start with yourself. I think that's
love is some, yeah, love is a giveaway.
Right.
It's something you give to somebody else, to some other thing, you know, to your horse, you know, to your wife, to your kid, children. Is something you give away. It doesn't have to be earned. Right. Like has to be earned. For you to like somebody, they have to earn your like. Trust has to be earned. For you to trust somebody, they have to earn that trust. Love doesn't have to be earned. Love is a giveaway. It's something that you just care about a person, period. Even if that person doesn't like you, even if that person is not nice, you love them and you can't change that because you just care about them as a person. You may not like them, but you love them. Love is a caring at the being level, not an intellectual level. It's caring at a deep level. It's a give. It's something you give. It's not something that you make or create or, you know, I'll love you if you love me. You know, that's not love. That's meeting each other's needs. So love is a giveaway. So love is just an inappropriate word to use for love yourself. It's just not the right word. Like yourself. Be positive about yourself. Don't feel bad about yourself. Look at the positive side always. Don't wallow in self-pity. Don't be a victim. All of these are saying, don't be negative about yourself. A victim's negative about themselves. Yep. Somebody self-centered is negative about themselves. Otherwise, they wouldn't be that way. So the don't be negative about yourself is something that's very fundamental. But love's just the wrong word. Sure. But it's an easy word. And people who don't feel good about themselves, it kind of feels good. Well, even if nobody else loves me, I can love me. And then they can start feeling, I actually feel good about myself now. But that's mostly just intellectual. They're doing that in a, you know, it's an image. They're talking themselves into it. They're pretending. I'm okay. I love myself. That's the first thing. I'm going to go home and take a warm bath and luxuriate in this and eat a box of chocolates and whatever. And even though I know that's not good because I love myself and that's what myself wants, you know? Well, that's not really loving yourself. That's an image. That's pretending that you're okay when you really don't feel okay down deep inside. And that's then part of the problem. Because pretty soon that loving yourself is going to run into other people, you know, other people's elbows and other people's, you know, rude comments and things. And when that shatters, now you're even worse off. So, yeah, loving yourself is, love's just not the right word there.
I get it.
Love is a, give it all away. You just care about that person. And love isn't something you take back. Love is something you give, and it's a gift, and it's gone. It doesn't come back. When you really love somebody, you will love them no matter what they do, because you just care about them. whether they do something nasty to you or not, well, you may not like that. Right. And you may be careful not to put yourself in that spot again, but you still love them. You still care about them. And you feel very sad because they are so negative and they're so hurtful and they're this way and that way. And it makes you sad, but you still love them. Love is it's a gift that can't be taken back. And if you can take it back, it really wasn't love in the first place. It was something else. It was conditional love, which actually doesn't exist. Conditional love isn't love. It's something else.
You trying to control things, yeah. Basically.
Yeah. So the love yourself is I'm sorry to get in the way of a lot of, nice slogans that people use. It's just not the right word. It's just not the right word. But the thought is there. The thought's correct. You can't really love somebody else unless you've got something to give. And if you're just if you're a victim at the bottom of the barrel, you see yourself as hopeless and worthless, then how do you give somebody this gift of love? Right. You can't. You don't have anything to give, you see? Yeah. So that's the point. You can't give love to other people if you're negative about yourself. So that's true. You have nothing to give. But just the wrong word.
Yeah.
But it's a word that feels good. It's a nice feel-good word, and it's a word that's easy to take on, and it's a word that helps people feel better immediately. But most of that's intellectual and in the image side, and it's not really very helpful. All this, yeah, go girl, you're in charge, you're the one, you can do it all. That's good psych up, but it doesn't actually get to people's deep being level structures. All it is cheerleading.
Yeah.
Making people feel better. Rah, 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 get up, go, hit them again. It's that kind of cheerleading to get people up. Yeah, you're okay. You're fine. Get back in the game. Well, a little cheerleading sometimes okay, but if that's what you're living on, if that's where you draw your happiness and yourself your self-worth from, it's empty. Yeah. It's just psych up stuff. And actually it'll leave you feeling more empty as it becomes more and more evident to you that it's just an image that you'd like to have, but it's not really the way you feel about yourself. So now you've failed again. You can't even love yourself very well. It's unfortunate, but people would be a lot happier if they just accept themselves and say, okay, now what can I do?
Right.
What weighs up? What do I need to be? Is this constant bickering and arguing and fussing that I do in my life? Well, just let that go. That's what makes me unhappy. Just won't do that anymore. I'll just let people be however they are. I won't argue with them or fuss with them or try to make them do me my way. Just let all the bad stuff go. Now if I don't do that, now what am I going to do? Well, people define themselves often by arguing. Yeah. If you insult somebody and they don't insult you back, you don't know what to do. It's like you're left, you're left, because that's how you define yourself, is you're this tough person that argues. And if somebody doesn't argue back with you, then they kind of leaves you empty. Well, it's easy to just stop. Well, I shouldn't say it's not easy to stop. It's hard to stop if that's the way you define yourself, but you need to stop. You need to work on it. Make that choice. I'm not going to be like that. Yeah. It's where we always end up, right? You got to make that choice of who and what you're going to be.
Right.
Not how you're going to act, but right. Who and what am I? What am I going to be? Am I going to be the sad person at the bottom of the barrel who's always, oh, woe is me. Life is so unfair. That outside world is so ugly and unfair. Oh, woe. If that's what you accept, then your life will be full of woe and sadness and unhappiness. Say, okay, life sucks, but I don't suck, and I'm not gonna get stuck there. I'm going on. At least I own my own mind. I can do that. I can even improve the quality of my consciousness in a jail cell.
Yes.
I'm in a jail cell and I don't have control over anything. I still have control over my own consciousness. I can evolve the quality of my consciousness under almost any condition. Almost any condition.
Well, it's amazing how an hour goes by so quickly. I had no idea that this would take the entire hour, but I think it was a really important discussion.
Well, I didn't give you much room to say anything, did I? You were shut out almost completely.
Hey, I had a beginning.
Yeah, you got to start. It's a good thing you started.
But it was a good show. I think we needed to look at our definitions, and I love the fact that love is a gift, and I think that's the biggest piece that we can get out of this, to look at and our choices. Interesting topic. I liked it. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to News for the Heart with Tom Campbell and myself. We're getting to the heart of what matters, so we'll be back next month, and who knows what it'll be, but if you have some suggestions or you have some questions, let us know. All right. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Lori.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instantfeedback@bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.